Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Let me welcome Pat Tully. Patrick Tully, who is the New York director and the national director of the Young Leaders of the American Ireland Fund, and indeed is in high demand also as a master of ceremonies and an auctioneer, and I don't know what else you're expected to do, Patrick Tully, but you measure up anyway as you're around the older set, you know, the McLaughlins of this world, and, you know, Kieran, and of course the new chairman, John Fitzpatrick. You're the young Turk of the group. You're welcome.
Well, good morning to you, Adrian. That's quite an introduction. The Young Turk was never a nickname of mine, but I'll take it now that I have just myself turned north of 40. So.
Oh, how about that? How about that? It has well and long been recognized. There were tongue-in-cheek remarks with, not only Kieran McLaughlin, who is CEO and president of the Worldwide Ireland Funds, but the future of the great organization actually does lie with the young leaders, and as such, you have done an amazing and continue to do an amazing job. First of all, in identifying who the young leaders are, from across North America, you've got quite a Rolodex there.
We do, and we are just going around to cities and chasing Irish setters in the random parks around the U.S. and finding out who their owners are and signing them up for membership. But it's been a great process of building this organization across the U.S. And, you know, we're in 9 major U.S. cities now, right, including some of the more obvious ones, Boston and New York, and then places like Dallas, where we just had a big gala last weekend.
Right.
David Faraday and Roger Staubach, the great Irish-American quarterback, Navy man, and so on, was there. Mm-hmm. And our young leaders played a huge part in this Black Tie Gala, and I'm just very proud to see the work that they've done in establishing Dallas as an incredible market, not just for more of the established owners, but for the young executives as well.
We might start off with basically addressing what the Ireland funds are, and in particular the American Ireland Fund. What's your job? What do you do?
Well, we are a grant-making organization. We raise the money here and around the world, in the United States and 11 other countries, and then we support organizations on the ground in Ireland. So at this point, we're in the middle of a campaign to raise $200 million, which, as you know, was originally a $100 million campaign. And the response from the donors has been so extraordinary that we actually met that campaign early, before the date. So yeah, we kept the end of the date of the campaign the same, but we doubled the goal. So the pressure is on to get there. The pressure is on to support organizations on the ground in Ireland. And the other larger grant makers in Ireland are now shutting down, and that leaves us as the largest individual grant-making organization. So we have a major responsibility to the country, and I think those of Irish descent like myself, I'm an American, and it's been a long time since the Tullys were in Ireland, but it's a great way for us to reconnect to that heritage in a very meaningful way by giving back and supporting organizations that we believe in. Peace and reconciliation, arts and culture, education, community development, across the board.
And we should say, for all of Ireland, not favoring either the North or the South, for that matter.
That is correct.
Because of the recession, the collapse of the Celtic Tiger, there is such need throughout the entire country for support. And as you've correctly pointed out, you know, philanthropy in Ireland took a beating, you know, with the rest of the country and those who really had to tighten their belts. Now, the reality is, though, that that the American Ireland Fund has been through good times and bad, regardless of the economy here or in Ireland. They've been there and somehow managed to reach the bar. Not only that, but in cases where you had the dream of coming up with $100 million, did not have a great ring to it because of our own economic woes here. But to double that goal because of the need in Ireland was again, you know, a huge, massive undertaking. And we might ask, when is, are you on schedule? What is the timeline now? How much has been actually collected of that $200 million?
Right now, we are actually at over $150 million. So we are on our way to the $200 million. I hope the goal doesn't get changed again if we hit it too early. But in regards to the time that we have left in the campaign, we are hoping that at a rate of, so we're trying to raise $2 million every month, we will get there on time within the, you know, we'll make the goal within the time frame. So it just, again, goes to the fact that we've got extraordinary donors like yourself and so many others out there who realize that, yes, there's need everywhere, but they couldn't lose that link with their Irish heritage, and they wanted to continue to support. And I was just a civilian of the Ireland Funds at the time when the campaign started, and I couldn't believe it. And it just, the response has been incredible, and we can't thank the donors enough, and it continues on to this day.
Would it be fair, Patrick Tilley, you know, for some to think, well, that is fine, you know, the theme is giving back.
Yes.
And indeed, as we look across America and Irish America in particular, there are a lot of success stories. Kind of a different ballgame to go to young people who are, you know, industrious, who are obviously, you know, getting their own feet wet in philanthropy and basically getting them this early. One might say, well, you know, why don't you give them a chance to, you know, to continue what they are doing and then expect them to give back? That's not the way it's shaping up.
No, and I think it's a great habit to learn to give back as you're younger. And, you know, we ask people for, especially here, we ask people for a very specific need. We say, you're raising the money here and understand that that money is going to Ireland and being distributed on the ground. So you have to sign up for that. You have to be that passionate about your heritage. And when you're young, and these are after post-tax dollars we're asking for. This isn't something that they can go to their employer and say, besides my 401k and other things, I would like to take $3,000 a year and give it in pre-tax dollars. I mean, this is their take-home pay, and we're asking for that. So we like to give a lot of value to that as well. Throughout the year, we host fundraisers, but we also host some great friendraisers that we put together with some bold-faced names and some wonderful donors who help us underwrite the cost of those so we can provide opportunities for these young executives to get together and network throughout the year. And we're not always reaching into the pocket for the check. We're also giving back to them for their generosity by providing them with quality programming throughout the year.
And indeed, that is constantly under the magnifying glass. It is not, the fund is extremely well monitored. And I'm sure that, with the demand that you have in Ireland, for the assistance and for the philanthropic contributions, that must be a whole other job in making sure that the money actually reaches, across the board, access to education, the shared future of Northern Ireland, everything from, promoting culture, heritage, and in an area that hasn't received that much attention, assisting the elderly, the forgotten Irish.
Absolutely.
By funding organizations which have to provide access to the huge range of services and to tackle loneliness and isolation, things that are not easy to even talk about but are very real.
Right. And I think it starts with the fact that, you were mentioning there, it's not just raising the money, it's also giving it away and giving away properly. Now, we hold ourselves to a very high standard, and we have ourselves audited by an organization called Charity Navigator. The highest rating they can give you is 4 out of 4 stars for efficiency. And we're very proud that we, once again this year, have the 4 out of 4 star rating. So you know that the money is going to the right place. But when you talk about programs like the Forgotten Irish and something that isn't I guess there's different programs where people get excited about, funding something for the arts, and that's very exciting and has a bit of a sex appeal, if you will.
Right.
And when it's, we're going to take care of the elderly and the forgotten Irish, it's like, what is that one about? How does that communicate to the young leaders? And I think they look at it as simple programs like Meals on Wheels and just programs that help people not only get a meal, but also connect to people who are bringing them that meal.
And they, to develop those very strong social networks, which, as basic as daycare centers, social clubs, some of which goes rather unnoticed, but somebody has to pick up the tab, and it is indeed a great tribute to the American Ireland Fund that has a prominent, that's not an also added on, but that is a prominent part of the distribution of the funds.
Absolutely, and I think that the Irish centers around New York City in the Bronx and in Long Island City, they do a great job. Paul Finnegan and his team do an incredible job making sure that the elderly in the New York communities, especially those elderly of Irish descent,
absolutely,
are well taken care of. And that isolation is just, it's so important to provide people with not just a meal, but for company and to keep them active.
Absolutely. And, that's shouldn't take anything away from the efforts of the Emerald Isle Immigration Center and, of course, Aisling Irish Center, who actually reach beyond their immediate community and welcome those who don't have any such programs wherever they might live.
And those organizations also, I'm sure you remember, in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, Noel Kenny and Peter Ryan really rallied all of the Irish organizations in New York, and it was a pleasure being able to work with so many of them. And they kept in mind that Christmas was around the corner,
yep.
And they put together those, I think in Ireland you say the shoeboxes, they were the old shoebox gifts, but they put together these fun shoeboxes for not only the children, but also for elderly people who were displaced, who might have been living in temporary FEMA hotels, and so on. I mean, only 8 weeks or so after Hurricane Sandy, we were celebrating Christmas, and some people, especially in the Rockaways and other areas out in Queens and
and Brooklyn and then Columbia.
Yeah,
but the whole
Breezy Point
were
they were so badly affected that those small efforts really went a long way to help people in a time of need. It really showed the giving spirit, I thought.
The other notable aspect is the awareness and indeed the support of the American Ireland Fund to the young, disadvantaged. Many of them recent immigrants, many not, who have fallen between the cracks and who absolutely need services above and beyond that which is, is normally anticipated. To that end, there are programs ranging from addiction to, severe mental issues, and that terrible scourge of suicide, of areas for the youth that we must face and that we must say they need the help too, and they
absolutely
need it now, and this can't wait. That the American Ireland Fund should zero in on those social necessities is very complimentary, and again it personifies the fund.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at an organization like Headstrong in Ireland that Desi Farrell and the Gaelic Players Association teamed up with, and the great work they've done to reach out to not only young people that are involved in the Gaelic games,
right,
the people in the rural communities that might be, isolated from, again, that word isolation there.
Yeah.
They might be isolated from the major cities,
yep,
but they're involved in the Gaelic games,
mm-hmm,
and they have this wonderful outreach organization that they can go and do, simply talk about their feelings and talk about what's on their mind, what's going on
right,
in school and in their community. And as you were mentioning there, suicide is the leading cause of death for young people in Ireland, and that is something that just can't continue.
And also, it's broader, and I absolutely agree with you that perhaps the Gaelic, the athletic associations of Ireland and indeed the GAA's influence across the United States is such that even they know that beyond the actual games and participation, and there are social networks, there's a fun aspect to it which actually is very necessary for those who are suffering from isolation and depression and whatever. So it's not as if you say, okay, if you have athletic skills, you're welcome here. It encompasses all of those who in fact, some for very good reason, are feeling, the disassociation from society, and in many cases feel that they're not going anywhere.
Correct.
I want to ask you about some of the fundraising activities. We know that you have, identified and set up branches and chapters across the United States, everywhere from San Francisco, Washington, D.C., for instance,
yeah,
L.A., and the obvious places, well, Philadelphia, also. Now, are those leaders, what's the profile of a philanthropist?
Of a young philanthropist?
Of a young, the young leaders that you have, that you are coordinating, and are they mostly the Wall Street types?
There's some Wall Street types, but we have people in television. One of our young leaders produces the show Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. That's just one example outside of that. There's some entrepreneurs, and I think with the entrepreneurial spirit comes that philanthropic spirit as well. I can see that all the time. People that have started small businesses, from one of our guys in D.C. who has a landscaping business, he's one of our top young leaders down there, to one of our young leaders in New York who is in the technology business. And he understands the importance of, as he gets successful, maybe it's superstitious at times, maybe it's just something that was ingrained to them, or maybe it's something that was part of what they wanted to do as an entrepreneur, to say, when I get to this level of success, I'm going to give back X percentage of my money to organizations I believe in. And I would also say that not only do they support the American Ireland Fund, but most of the young leaders, young executives, are involved in two, maybe three different organizations that have to do with perhaps cancer research or something else that tugs at their heartstrings throughout the year. And as an auctioneer, I travel all around New York and other cities to do these events, and not just for the American Ireland Fund. When I'll run into young leaders at other events in other cities, and they said, I've been on the committee for this for 5 years, and we helped to build this thing from the ground up. And it's great to see that this isn't just a stop-off along the way. This is something that's a part of their lives from the moment they get out of college.
Right.
And it becomes part of their planning. And when they get married, they sit down with their spouses and say, this is going to be part of our financial plan every year, giving back. And we need to agree on how much and to who we're giving this to as a couple.
You know, it is also refreshing to know that philanthropy has, has so many areas and tentacles that it's simply not those who are making millions in the financial world. That in fact, a lot of your young leaders are in fact those who are not mega rich, but rather have made this commitment, from all walks, from industry, from all walks that indeed, where the commitment is the same. It does not have to be massive amounts of money, but obviously the conglomerate, and when you have as many young leaders as in fact you've managed to gather, there is something infectious about that type of spirit. And to that end, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and some of them, they look at this and they say, hey, I'm 24 years old, and this is my first or second job out of school, and is there any way I can volunteer? Is there some way I can give back in sweat equity help you find maybe I can go to my boss and see if we can donate to buy a ticket to the gala, donate an item for the auction, help out with the raffle, whatever it is, until I get to that point where I can start writing the check myself. So we have those young leaders too, and it's the same idea. It's getting ingrained to them right away that they want to be part of something bigger than themselves. They want to be part of something that is making a real difference, and they strive towards this idea, an ideal that one day that they're going to be at the level of a major financial philanthropist outside of just their time and some sweat equity. But it's
the mold has been broken, Pat Tully, because again I think there was a feeling that as those who were, in an advanced stage in their career had proved beyond doubt you know, that they could now afford to do something, now afford to give back, that in fact, well, it still exists. But there's no backup. If you simply trade on that notion that you're just catching people just before they retire or to some area there, the philanthropy has, you know, belongs to everybody. It doesn't have a
great way to, that's a great way to say it. I saw recently there was a very wealthy philanthropist in New York who was saying that young people should establish themselves in their career, establish themselves with the family, and when they're getting ready to retire, that's when they should start giving back, because that's when they can make the most impact. I completely disagree with that for vested reasons and for my own reasons before I got involved as an employee of the American Ireland Fund. And you know, the number one reason for that is that you're missing out on so much. You're missing out on the networking of it, for one. And I can point to exact examples of people who they've done business together, so they've helped out themselves in the financial way, but they've also made friends. I can show you a couple of marriages. It's sort of like Match.com meets Monster
right.
job board. And okay. All of these great networking things happen when people are in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, as I am now. Yeah. But they all happen, you know, around great organizations that are doing great work on the ground, whether it's here or it's in the country of their heritage. And I know, I see it every day. I'm getting on a plane to go to Chicago for our fourth annual Green Gala, which is the Young Leaders event out there.
Right.
And we have people from five different cities going. Now, that's not because they want to go to Chicago when there's a snowstorm coming in. Trust me, they don't want to go over there for that. They want to go there because they have made so many great friendships with these people in Chicago, where they met them at our Young Leaders Summit that we host in January,
right.
Where they met them when they went to Ireland to see their work, to see their money going to work on the ground in June during our annual conference. But they've established these bonds, and it is a network, but it is a philanthropic network. Whether they're giving a few dollars, whether they're giving their time, they want to be together. And when they get together, great things happen.
And thus, fortunately, is the story and the place you're at. But obviously, you don't wait for annual events. You know, you are constantly, through new chapters, you're not waiting for the annual check, for the Christmas check to the charity. It is something that... you are engaging and setting up the platform for engaging for young leaders. And as such, I suppose, with the St. Patrick's month, as you had mentioned before, we came on air here.
The season, as we call it.
Welcome to the season, you know. Valentine's Day, you know, at midnight on Valentine's Day, somehow we were in the season. But you will be back, though, by Wednesday, we have to assume, because the New York young leaders are having their St. Patrick's celebration right here in New York. Tell us about that.
Well, this is now, we're kind of counting it up. We never really called it the fourth annual or fifth annual, but this is pretty much our ninth annual event here in New York. This grew from a group of people getting together at Glucksman Ireland House down at NYU in 2003, 2004. And we started to build this young leaders group. And I'm happy to say that a majority of the people that were in that original meeting are still involved today. Now, this year, we're very excited because we've been chasing the band, the Dropkick Murphys, for years. They've always been on tour. This is their hot season right now. And we are very fortunate that their schedule worked out to our favor. So on Wednesday the 12th, we're honoring the lead singer, Ken Casey, of the Dropkick Murphys.
And they're listed anyway as an American Celtic punk band, formed back, I believe, in Quincy, in Massachusetts, around the middle of the 90s there. And actually, the first time we saw them performing, you know, was at the official opening of Ireland's Great Hunger Museum in Quinnipiac University back in September of 2012. And somebody told John Leahy that, you know, he would fit in beautifully with this, and it is an image that we're trying to forget once in a while, to have John Leahy, president of Quinnipiac University, on stage, rousing up the crowd for Dropkick Murphys, you know?
You're expecting someone more like maybe Dedannon or another band like that to be performing, and then these guys are up there with their tattoos and their, you know, punk hair and their Doc Martens. They're stomping all over the stage, and then I don't care if you're in a jacket and tie, but you can you have to get up for this band. These guys are fantastic. Now,
and if you don't get up, they'll rouse you out of the seat anyway. So
yeah, they're gonna they'll find you and they'll get you out of your seat. And Ken is actually providing us, after the award, he's providing us with a special performance, and he'll be performing with a band called the Narrowbacks, and they are a great up-and-coming Irish band, Irish-American band here in New York, and we were introduced to them by the great Larry Kerwin of Black 47. So it was excellent to see two legends in music there, Larry Kerwin and Ken Casey, come together and work on this you know, new band.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, you have, but you have a couple of awards. First of all, this is taking place in, the name of the place is Capital?
Capital, correct, down on the Bowery.
The Bowery.
Right at Grand Street. Mm-hmm. It's the old Bowery Bank building, and it is grandiose, just like the Cipriani locations around the city. It's cavernous. It we can have up to 1,000 people for a cocktail party. I'm projecting about 700 will be attending at this point. But there's a great opportunity to say tickets are still for sale, and this would be the only time you'll see Ken Casey singing any of the Dropkick Murphy tunes during the St. Patrick's season in New York City. They have a show out in Long Island. And then they literally, as their hit song says, they'll be shipping up to Boston on the 13th.
Yes.
So they're playing some shows up there. But in the 2014 calendar year, you know, we're kind of the only game in town to hear Ken. He's a great public speaker as well. And he started an organization called the Clatta Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps out people on the ground in Boston, in the communities where he grew up, in, as you mentioned, Quincy.
Yeah.
But he's decided, much like the Ireland Funds, to expand to some of these major Irish-American cities, and they're doing great work in Philadelphia. And the Clatta Fund will soon be doing great work in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So we're happy to introduce them to the New York City market and to work side-by-side with the great work of his organization that he started and recognize him for those efforts. Now, this New York event has a lot of Boston influence this year. Besides the Dropkick Murphys and their great anthems that they perform, we also are honoring one of the heroes of the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombings last year.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, Officer Richard Donahue.
Dick Donahue.
Dick Donahue. His good friends call him Dick Donahue. He was he was almost fatally shot. He was able to survive trying to apprehend the Zarnov brothers last year. He's close with some of our young leaders here in New York, and we thought it was a perfect fit to bring the two of them together. And the award that Ken is getting is presented by our good friends at Jameson. It's the Jameson Irish Spirit Award. And the award
That fits with Dropkick Murphys, let me tell you, right there.
I'm sorry?
That's a great fit, the Jameson Irish Spirit Award.
Yes. It's a bit of a double entendre in the name.
Yeah.
And Officer Dick Donahue will be receiving an award called the Dylan Smith Community Service Award. This is the second time we've given this award, and it is an honor and a memory of Dylan Smith, who was one of the heroes of Hurricane Sandy. He literally saved people from drowning by creating a rope tie on that he attached to his surfboard, and he pulled people out of a home and saved their lives. He really did. Tragically, incredibly ironically, he was surfing a few months later in Puerto Rico and drowned. And it was terrible, but we decided to name this after him. We invite his mother and family to join us on the night, and they'll be there again. And last year, for the inaugural award, we did give that to Peter Ryan for all the work that he did, yeah, getting all the Irish Americans together in the communities and helping out.
And definitely, yeah, he earned that and continues to do so. Now, your event next Wednesday, there is a VIP reception, which begins at 6:30.
There is.
That has some perks as well.
You get to meet the honorees. Maybe if you have that Dropkick Murphys album that you wanted to get signed, maybe Ken will do that for you. There's opportunities to meet the honorees, and also there's an extra hour of cocktails, and it's in a smaller room upstairs at Capitale called the Red Room, which is a very cool room. And mm-hmm. We'll also have the Xavier High School Blue Note is the club down the village, the Blue Night Band. So they're going to be performing some of our young leaders, including Joe Tully, no relation,
yeah,
is an alum of Xavier. Dylan Smith also went to Xavier. It's a nice tie-in and tribute to him. And some of our great supporters, like Wilbur Ross, is also an alum of Xavier High School.
Yeah.
Wonderful school. They've got a volunteer. I shouldn't say volunteer. They're high school kids, so yeah, they'll be volunteering for us, and we'll be making a donation to their music program, which also ties in nicely with the Music Generation program that we support in Ireland, with a wonderful partnership with U2 to get instruments in the schools across Ireland.
Yes. Again, I remember in the launching of this effort, that was almost incredible to believe that we associate all of Ireland with music from the cradle, and yet even in the good times in Ireland, musical instruments took second place in much of the country, not just here and there, but and that's well underway as well.
Hard to believe. Such a huge part of the culture.
This is taking place, friends, again, at Capitale, 130 Bowery. It's the corner of Grand Street. It's next Wednesday evening. And the VIP reception from 6:30 to 7:30. And the main event then, of course, goes from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Don't tell the babysitter you'll be home by 11. That never happens. This is a Tully event, and he has a problem with the closing on schedule, but you didn't hear that from me. Let me give the telephone number 212-689-3100. Now, you have your co-chairs and event organizers. They're not at you over 40. They don't want to overburden you. But you have Jennifer Barry.
Yes.
Patrick McAvoy.
That's correct.
And Marta Great.
Yes, and Marta is with the Fitzpatrick Hotels organization, and our new chairman, John Fitzpatrick, has been a great supporter of this event as well.
Yeah, and he's a bit long in the tooth for this, but I'm sure he'd be welcome if he shows up, and he will be getting, great response as well. A job, by the way, that not many would envy, considering that he gets to walk in the footsteps of Loretta Brennan Glucksmann and the founder of Glucksmann Ireland House. But we wish everybody great luck, and indeed John, and recognize you for the tremendous advances that you've made. You fooled us all. Patrick, Pat Tully, again. Oh, by the way, can we give your email address as well for those who'd like to get in touch? Ptully at irlfunds.org. That's Ptully at irlfunds.org. And the telephone number again, 212-689-3100. Our guest, Patrick Tully, the New York director and indeed the national director of the American Ireland Fund Young Leader and the Young Leaders Organization of the American Ireland Fund. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Adrian. I really appreciate this.
And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA.